I don't look. I was reading Reader's Digest.
I love Reader's Digest.
You don't read it though.
I read it when I'm in. I bought one once. What, bought one's in the airport. I quite like Reader's Digest.
What, a condensed book and books and.
Oh, no, oh, the magazine. No, there's magazine. A magazine. I think my parents used to get it.
Yeah, my parents used to get it.
And I like the I used to like the jokes, but jokes, I also like the true stories in there.
Yeah, no, it was good.
There's some good true stories.
But I went to the website.
It's very daggy though, isn't very it? Very Digest.
And what they had this month is 30 things that are turning 30 this year.
Oh,
want me to give you a couple?
The internet.
Oh God, you're so clever. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
GPS.
GPS.
Yep.
I wouldn't have picked that.
No.
Okay, so they're all...
go for a couple of TV shows. Go for a TV show.
Oh, Neighbours? No.
I think Neighbours was 80...
Oh, hey, Neighbours in the 80s, wasn't it? So 30 years is how long I've been doing stand-up. So that's how I know. So it's 1990. Mobile phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of a famous cartoon.
Oh, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 89. 30 years.
Seinfeld, 89.
Wow.
Berlin Wall.
Berlin Wall came down in 1990.
Yep. Game Boy. Came out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now you've been on Spicks and Specs how many times? 54.
54? What? We don't talk about that much.
Yeah. It does make you sort of better than everybody else. Okay, I will give you the artist. You give me the song from 30 years ago.
All right.
I'll be, what's his name? Adam Hills. Okay. Madonna.
Like a Virgin?
Is it Like a Virgin or Like a Prayer?
Oh, they're both.
Same.
No, it's different songs.
Oh, stupid.
Aren't they?
Yes. Okay. You won't get this one, but I love the title, New Kids on the Block.
Oh, I hate that song. Yeah.
Hanging Tough.
Hanging Tough, yeah. Yeah, I never, was never into boy bands.
And it was the year of Milli Vanilli.
Oh, yeah. They won a Grammy. They got it taken off them.
Girl, You Know.
Girl, You Know It. I don't know. Yeah, again, I wasn't into them.
And the big one, the one that you sing all the time, to me quite often.
You're the Voice, trying to understand it.
Bette Midler. Oh, well, that was, when was Farnham?
Farnham, that was 80s. Whispering Jack was 80s, late 80s, I reckon, mid to late 80s.
So we're not far off.
Did You Know You Were My Hero? You were the wind beneath my wing.
Yeah, Bette Midler.
Yeah, great song.
And... not song, Exxon Valdez was...
The oil
yeah,
disaster.
30 years ago. So if you're listening to this and you're here and remembering these quite easily, you're really old and a little bit sad.
You know that Did You Know You're My Hero? I remember going to a funeral of a woman I used to work with, and this woman got up and the priest doing the service said, we're going to have a song now. And this woman gets up and goes... Did you know you were my hero? You were the winner. And I said to someone, this is really moving. Who is this woman? How did Doris know her? Oh, no, we don't know her. We paid her to. So this woman goes and does funerals.
Does that?
That's her job.
Just sing goes, Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah, Wind Beneath My Wings and probably a little bit of, what's another good funeral song?
Oh, there was one Carly, not Carly Simon. What's
yeah.
His name?
Oh, there's also It's a Perfect Day by It's...
Both Sides Now. Joni Mitchell.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, how does it go?
I don't know that one.
Yeah. But, oh, no, if you hit Both Sides Now, you just
I've been to funerals where they played Lou Reed's. It's a Perfect Day. It's a Perfect Day. It's a sad kind of song. But imagine being that woman coming home from work and a partner goes, how was work? Oh, it was pretty good, mate. 800 people cry. The first one wasn't too bad. It was, you know, there's a bit of warbling. The second one, though, nailed it. Woman fainted.
And they say to her, do you do any other songs? No, just the one.
Just said, did you know you were my hero?
Surely, if you went to a, you know, during that period, if you went to a funeral, you'd have to go, please, not that again.
Not that again.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, overplayed.
If I die on the way home from this podcast, can we have that at my funeral? And can you organise a woman that I don't know to sing it?
Yeah, sure. Wings. Why don't we have the melody and I'll talk it?
You are. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be great.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
We get a karaoke track.
Yeah. And I'll just talk it, but we'll have someone signing it.
Yeah, we need. Yeah, I've got a lot of deaf friends. Something for everyone. Oh, is that the music? Unfortunately, yeah. It's not the music, though. Yeah, it's not Did You Know You Were My Hero. No,
it's the summer related music. Oh. The theme of love.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Here we are, Somehow Related.
Somehow Related. I'm...
you're Glenn Robbins.
You're Dave O'Neill.
I am.
And a show that... and by the way, it'd be good if... Not that I read the reviews, but if you want to write something, give us a bit of a tip, what you do or you don't like, then maybe we'll read it. I'm not sure how to do that.
They're producing. Yeah, they're on iTunes. It's the reviews on iTunes. They're all very positive, which is great.
That's good. So what we do is we sit down, we get two topics given to us from Sam, and she knows the answer when she
knows.
Yeah, she doesn't sort of pick out two random things and then hope.
Yeah, hope they're related.
Hope they're related.
Mickey Mouse and Mussolini. Oh, yeah. This is a hard one.
It does sound like it could be related, though.
Could be related.
Yeah. And then we have a bit of a chat about that, and you bring your worldly knowledge to it, and I...
Look, I've travelled a lot.
And I react inanely to that and pretend I know something when I don't really, and then we conclude something. And sometimes, I reckon we're probably about 60% of the time.
Yeah, I'd say.
I'd say.
What are the topics? Come on, Sam.
Christopher Walken and lions.
Ooh.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken is a very famous actor.
Very evocative. He's one of those people that when he's acting, he's revving. Even when he's in neutral, he's given off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did that great speech in, was that Pulp Fiction about the watch up his bum? Was it that was him. Yeah, I think it was Pulp Fiction.
Was that the kid?
Yes, about the smuggling a watch out or something. Yeah, that was Christopher. And he did that great video for Fatboy Slim where he dances because he's an old song and dance man.
He's renowned for his dancing.
Incredible.
What's the song?
There's no words. There's just like an instrumental.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
And because Jim often plays great old movies, and it wasn't that long ago that they played Deer Hunter.
Oh, he's in Deer Hunter.
Yeah, and I don't know whether you remember it, but I reckon there are two scenes. There's a couple of scenes.
One of my friends summed up Deer Hunter because I was quite young when they came and said, "No, don't go see it. It's just like some guy kills a deer, and there's just a lot of talking and that. There's like a flashback." So I never saw Deer Hunter.
You've never seen it.
Never seen it. Oh, should I see it?
It's De Niro.
Yeah.
It's Walken. It's Streep.
Wow.
I mean, just right there. And it's about the life they have, you know, they hunt together. Then they go to
Vietnam
together. And then they come back and then it's what happens to their lives.
They hunt each other.
But there is the famous scene that even if you rewatch it, it's horrific. It's the Russian roulette scene.
Oh.
And it happens in the middle of the film and then it comes back and happens at the end of the film. It's one of the most powerful scenes I think I've ever seen. I don't think we should even replay it because it's too hard to listen.
No,
where they're betting on their whether or not they're going to blow their heads
off. Is Meryl involved in this? I couldn't imagine Meryl. Yeah, I couldn't imagine Meryl.
She was doing Cry in the Dark at the time. So right. She was
Christopher Walken, though, he's one of those guys that's a bit like De Niro in that occasionally they get pushed into doing comedy and they're not – that great.
They're not that great, but they're not.
They have a presence, though.
Yeah, they do. De Niro got away with it but very good in Meet the Parents. Very good.
But sometimes you see him in stuff, you're like, oh. Walken's a bit like that, in a way.
I know that Walken, this is interesting, Walken was very big as an animal activist. I know that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe he grew up in a circus or something. I don't know.
I met someone who did a film with him. He did a film in Australia.
What?
Yeah, he did a film in Australia.
So he hung out with Christopher Walken.
Yep. And he said Christopher Walken would walk around with a small tape recorder, taping stuff and playing it. He was a real joker. Like he would talk into a tape recorder and then play it to people and stuff, a little tape recorder, like a dictaphone. And like make fart noises and stuff and play it. That's what he said.
What was it?
Because my first question was, what was Christopher Walken like? I'm pretty sure Vince Colosimo told me this story. Vincey Princey. Let me just, Sam, what movie did Christopher Walken do in Australia? And it was set in the outback. I remember that.
Kangaroo Jack.
Not one of his big ones.
How many movies has Christopher Walken been in?
Apparently 133 movies.
Well, what Australian actor was in Kangaroo Jack?
Bill Hunter.
Oh, maybe Bill Hunter told me the story. Because I met Bill Hunter. I did Spicks and Specks with Bill Hunter once. So great. You would have met Bill Hunter.
Yes. Lovely man.
Oh, I was scared of him. So in
really?
Specs, well, they did a movie special on Spicks and Specs, and because I was fresh from the nugget, I was on the movie with Bill Hunter, me, and I can't remember who else. And before the show in the green room, I just said to Bill across the table, everyone's standing around, but yeah. You know, because I said, "So, Bill, we're going to try and win tonight." And he goes, "Get fucked." He just kept staring.
Good comeback.
Get fucked. So, yeah, I think it was Bill Hunter must have told me that story. That
so the story was, again,
Christopher Walken would walk around with a little dictaphone playing fart noises that he'd recorded.
Because it was funny you should say that, because we had, this doesn't match your story, we had Leslie Nielsen on the comedy.
Leslie Nielsen?
On the comedy.
Wow.
Company.
From Airport or what it was called, Airplane.
Airplane. Yeah. There was all those movies, wasn't there?
Have you ever seen A Grown Man Naked? That's not him, but yeah, that's, you know, that's that movie.
And he walked around with a fart machine in his hand. So every
What's
time,
with these guys?
Old guys who have done, well, you could say, you know, some classic
They're
stuff.
Legendary actors. I mean, yeah, they're both legendary actors.
And walking around with a fart machine.
Well, Leslie Nielsen for a long time was a serious actor. He just did all those cop shows and all that stuff. And then just at one, he did Flying High. That's the movie we're thinking of. Flying High,
yes.
But it was called something else in America. Let's not ask
Airport.
Sam that. Yeah,
no,
it's called Airport.
Airport.
I'll ask Glenn. No. Glenn? Yeah. What was that called? Anyway, so, and then he just did that and he became a comedic actor.
So he's got and I also know he's a bit of he's not a bad cook because he was going to do a cooking show.
Oh, I'd love to see that. He's got one of those great voices. You just want to hear him talk.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
De Niro or any of those guys.
So.
Lions, though.
Lions.
When was the last time you saw a lion in the wild?
A friend of mine just went to Africa and it was just, he said it was, he went on one of those, you know, riding.
Safari.
Riding the truck and, you know, walk amongst them. Probably.
You been to Africa?
No. Been to Seymour. Been to.
No, you've been to Bacchus Marsh where there used to be a lion park. Don't get out of the car. Every time some idiot would get out of the car, then the front of the paper, remember they have that on the front of the paper, the lion sitting on top of the car?
Yeah. And there's some great clips on YouTube where animals in those parks have opened doors. Monkeys, bears, lions have opened. It's fantastic. Just look up doors being opened by animals. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, I've been to Africa.
I've been to Africa.
You
know, I reckon you're making this stuff up.
No, but I haven't been to that bit of Africa. I've been to Morocco, so I haven't been at this.
No,
I tell you,
have
I told you this story? This got me into a lot of trouble. When I was a lot younger, I'd been to Africa. I'd been to Morocco for 3 days in the 80s, right? And I played with a girl, and anyway, whatever. Who was in Europe in the 80s, went to Morocco for 3 days. It was pretty full on.
Yeah.
It's like if you want to know what like the life of Madonna is like, go to a country like that with a girl with blonde hair and it's just, you just get mobbed everywhere. It was like we were rock. Anyway, whatever. 30 people would surround you.
Really?
Like, yeah, wanting to sell you shit and stuff.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I came back and this is before I was in comedy. So this is the late 80s and I thought I'm going to apply for a job as a journalist, cadet journalist at The Age newspaper, right? Yeah. So I sat I've got good general knowledge. I got through to the interview stage.
Yeah.
But I'd lied on my application form.
Yeah.
I said I'd travelled extensively through Europe and Africa, right? Mm. And so I go for the interview, who's with the foreign affairs editor, and honestly, his office was like a shrine to Africa. He actually had like...
He knew everything.
He had like a statue next to his desk of a pygmy. He actually had a statue, like a carving, and he just looked at me, and he looked at my CV and went, "I lived in Africa for 20 years. Where did you go?" It's like, yeah. No, I didn't get the job. So don't lie on your resumes, guys.
Did I tell you when I lied on my resume?
No, what happened?
I wanted a job at the Melbourne Hilton to be a function waiter. And my brother used to work there as well. And he said, "Yeah, you should apply." And then they said, "Can you do silver service?" Do you know what silver service is?
Oh, yes.
Which means that you hold a fork and a spoon.
White gloves and stuff. And
Fork and a spoon and you serve like things from plastic.
Oh, yes.
And I was at the Logies. How's this for a classic showbiz story? At the Logies, Muhammad Ali was there. Walked right past me, looked at me. Wow, pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I was serving on my table. I had.
You worked on a Logies night before you were in show business.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I remember there was another guy wandering around giving his number to producers. I'm going, God, I wish I had the guts to do that. Yeah. Anyway, I got Norman Gunston on my table.
Oh, I love Norman
Gunston.
Gary McDonald.
And I'm doing, I lied, I couldn't do silver service, and I had to serve sliced carrots, and they were, like the whole, there was must have been about 12 on the table, and they're watching me, I am sweating,
yeah.
And I get the sliced carrots, and I swear, I flip them, and they took off like a hub. You know when you see a hubcat?
Running down the road.
Boom, 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 boom. It went all around the table, sort of made a noise in the middle of the table. And when I got round to Gary McDonald, he realised I was, so he just got up and got out of his seat and said, "You need as much room as you can get. You're hopeless."
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Lions. Now, I've saw a lion in the zoo a couple of years ago, and when they roar, it's such a guttural. It's amazing.
Well, I was at the zoo once, and I walked around the corner, and I think I scared the lion, and it just it. My hair went back. It was like, a blast. You know?
It's. Have you seen those videos? You don't even know whether they're real, but they're like always on Twitter and stuff of the guy posing with, he shot a lion.
Yeah.
And he's posing with it, and then another lion just comes out of nowhere and just takes him away. Like,
well, I did a.
Karma.
I'm going to name drop now. Did a little bit. Steve Irwin, good friend of mine.
Steve Irwin.
Yeah. He invited me to Australia Zoo, and we did the. We were in the big arena.
Yeah.
And we saw him do the crocodile thing. And then he did the wild bird thing. And what he did was, the idea was the birds fly in, and then the other guy was behind us, and the birds were going to fly straight at our head and then go over us and land, get the meat that was behind us.
Yeah.
But what happened was it didn't quite work because the birds flew around for a while and then they just pissed off. And then...
What?
And Steve goes, "Oh, sorry, Glenn, that was meant to be them flying over your head." But anyway, that was meant to happen. Anyway, so they gave us a backstage tour, and we saw elephants, and we sat with tigers.
Sat with tigers?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But they were chained.
That scary?
They had the guy. Yeah, because if the tiger wanted to get up and whack you,
yeah,
it's all very well that the guy's standing there with a chain. Maybe I should put photographs on the Facebook of me with a tiger. But
yeah, have you got photos?
I have got photos. Yeah, I don't brag, but yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You've been to Africa, but you've met the lions and the tigers.
Are you a zoo guy? Because I reckon I'm anti-zoo.
Yeah, I'm in two minds about as with a parent of kids. You go to the zoo a bit. You know what I mean?
Up close and personal, and you get to educate and see what you know.
But you know, the zoos always maintain that. They're doing it to save the wildlife, but they are just in cages. You know what I mean? It is a bit sad.
You just look at them and you go, you're not happy.
They look miserable.
They look miserable. And you go, if it's endangered, I understand it, but not if they're not endangered.
I did a gig at the zoo. I've done a few gigs at the zoo.
Of course you have.
They've got like function rooms, and you have to go in at night, and it's so, like all the animals are making noises. And then we're just walking along, me and the security guard, and I look over, and there's just like a tiger standing staring at us. I'm like, shouldn't the fence be higher? He's like, yeah, it should be higher.
Funny that.
Yeah, it hasn't been fed yet. That's why he's standing staring at us. Oh, great.
He looks good to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I love lions. They're amazing.
You know what? When I think of lions, I think of...
Born Free?
Yes, Born Free.
Oh, what about more my generation? Kimber the White Lion. Kimber the White Lion.
Lion King.
Oh, Lion King. I've never seen Lion King.
I don't know. I think I probably...
The deepest dark of Africa? Africa. That's Kimba the White Lion is his name.
I think we have to stop singing the songs because...
I think we do. But when you think about Kimba the White Lion, he was basically... What's it called when you have a cell dysfunction and you're just white and blonde? An albino. He was an albino lion.
Yeah.
And now albino monkeys, albino lions, they're very... It's very dangerous being one of them.
Because
they stand out. Imagine they made a comic about this poor, stressed-out animal that probably has no idea why everyone's hunting it.
Wasn't that the Gary Larson cartoon where he goes, "Bummer of a birthmark howl"?
Yes,
and the deer's got a target on his stomach or something. Yeah, you play the theme to Born Free, you'll tear up.
Born Free?
I don't know whether we're allowed to hear it now, but probably can't because of copyright, but if we can.
Was it a TV theme?
It was a movie theme.
A movie theme, that's right.
You know the story of Born Free?
Lions get set back.
You know what it is. I think it's where they were in the jungle and he's there with his wife and they nearly get attacked and they have to shoot the mother lion, but it's got three cubs, so they bring the three cubs up.
Oh,
and then two of them go to a zoo and there's one left, and then they've got to decide whether. And then they go, "You've got to leave Africa."
Yeah,
it either goes to a zoo or you let it go, and then they let it go, which is very sad.
Oh,
but then they come back years later. And not only do they find that one, Kim.
Yeah.
No. What was it? Elsa. Elsa.
Elsa.
Elsa. Recognizes them, comes out and gives them a big lick and a hug.
That's like that.
And it got three babies. I mean, don't. Oh. try to keep
spoiler
your tissues.
Spoiler alert. I was going to have a big night of Born Free with the kids. And they
I reckon that there's a whole genre of films that you go, kids would still like. Because it would be in 4.3, would it? No, it would be in CinemaScope. No, yeah, I reckon that's a cracker for your kids.
My kids would love that.
Okay, well, they're probably not listening. So that's,
no, they don't listen. Yeah. They don't listen at all.
Anyway.
That's like that YouTube video where the guys had lines in... They bought these lions in the 70s and kept them.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then they release them into Africa and they go back to see if they can find them and the lions come up and hug them and everything. Have you seen that footage?
No.
But they get mauled to death, whatever. It's,
yeah, before they get mauled, they cut there and they're licking them and then they just suddenly go. Because weren't there those two guys in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Siegfried and
Roy.
Roy. Yeah. And they got mauled by one of their lions.
Yeah, then they used to put their head in there and then the lion went, you know, what? I've had enough of this. This guy shits me.
He wears too much hairspray.
And this went bang and bit him up bad.
Yeah, bad.
It's like that. There's a cartoon that Larson does again with the bears who are on the little bikes.
Yeah.
And he just pulls his he's got you know, those masks on that means that they can't bite.
Yeah.
And he just goes, hey, watch these things just pop right off. So the idea being that you know he's about to turn on the crowd. But anyway, so. I'm getting an inkling.
Okay, you get an inkling?
What? Oh.
What?
Would we be able to think music? Would we be able to hear a bit of Born Free?
Yeah, let's have a bit of Born Free.
You know who sings that? I reckon it's Matt Monroe.
Okay.
Showing my age there.
Born Free.
I reckon we could have it given that it's
yeah, a bit of Born Free. Yeah. Okay.
And try not to tear up when you hear this.
Okay.
Born Free. And life is worth living. But only worth living, 'cause you're born free.
Did you tear up a bit? No.
No.
I reckon your kids will if they. I want to hear what your kids think of that film.
Born Free.
Okay, I'm going to say that I know that Christopher Walken was an animal activist, and I reckon there's some sort of protection thing. He set up the first protection charity for lions in Africa.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm going to go. I reckon, because he's of that age, I reckon he had a pet lion.
He had a pet lion?
Well, you know, like Michael Jackson had a monkey. I'll do one better than Bubbles.
Ah.
You know, Bubbles is still alive in a zoo in Florida.
Bubbles is the monkey, isn't he?
Michael Jackson's monkey, yeah. Okay, so
we
I reckon.
Tell some stories.
Yeah. Bubbles. Traumatized.
Point to the
dummy, yeah. I reckon he had a pet lion in the 70s because people did occasionally.
Weird stuff.
Have weird animals. It was a lot more, you know. Freer back then for animal ownership.
Okay, Sam, we've had a crack.
What is it, Sam?
Christopher Walken worked as a lion tamer aged 16 years old. Speaking to Vanity Fair in 2012, Walken said that when the headline tamer would finish the main act, there would be one lion left, a female lion named Sheba. He would wave the whip and she would run and sit. He also said that she was a bit more like a dog than a wild animal. Sources are available in the episode notes.
That's incredible. I knew he was a song and dance man, so he was sort of in that vaudevillian way, but I didn't know he was a lion tamer.
He grew up around it or something.
He ran away and joined the circus.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Do you remember lion tamers? It was a whip and a chair, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And why was it a chair?
I don't know.
Because I think because there were four prongs and they didn't know which one was...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think that was the idea.
That's interesting.
It's horrible though. And then they get them to get up onto crack a whip, and they get up on a stool. And
but also, what sort of protection? What sort of protection is a chair? You'd want a gun, wouldn't you? Seriously, that's a lion.
Well, yeah.
Lion would just push the chair out of the way and maul you to death.
If you were there, let's just say you were there, right?
Mm.
And there was a night where it went wrong.
Who would I be cheering on? The lion.
No, well, if it went wrong, the same as with bullfighting. If it goes wrong, you're going. Go for it, bully boy.
I don't feel sorry for the bullfighter.
It would be horrible to see someone mauled to death by a lion.
It'd be horrible.
Horrible, but would you be upset? I don't know.
Oh, you'd be upset if it was your brother or someone, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I've gone to see Mark in his bloody new job. It's his first night, kids. Let's
be supportive. Oh, dear.
Look away, kids. Tell him you should have been a clown.
Because there's nothing you can do. You can't get in there.
No, you can't. You'll just get attacked yourself.
And then they have to get that off. Then they have to bring in the guy on the motorbike that whizzes around inside the cage just to sort of change.
Yes. The clowns turn up in their little mini to take the body away.
Because with Cirque du Soleil, I remember the first time I saw that.
They could do with a bit of animal action, couldn't they?
Absolutely.
They got horses, haven't they?
I don't think so.
Well, they used to.
You know what irritated me about Cirque du Soleil?
I've never seen it.
Well, they make up their own language. So it's a wati ba ba.
Oh, really?
What are you? What? Your own language.
Oh, God.
The first time you see Cirque du Soleil, you go.
It's amazing or?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. The third or fourth time, you're going, mate, you would have to, you know, get fired out of a cannon and do a triple, you know.
I think I prefer a bit of Ashton's, old-fashioned circus.
Old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Yeah. What are the ones that toured in Ashton's?
Ashton's, Circus Oz, who are a bit, you know, more alternative, of course.
And there was another one too, wasn't there?
Oh, Ashton's, the old-fashioned.
Ringlings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ringling Brothers.
They barely have any animals now, though. So
no, which is good, because you do get, you feel a bit sad when you drive past down.
Oh, you see an elephant.
You see an elephant, you have to go, God.
It's not a good life.
Yeah, the elephants.
I think the zoo elephants would look down on the circus elephant
when they all get together for the annual
elephant conference. Hey, we got a permanent home. You're traveling around in some caravan.
Yeah, shit, that's crap.
Oh, no good.
Yeah, the lions went crazy the other day. Really? Oh, yeah. 80 man. It was really good entertainment.
Don't forget to check out the new show from the Nearly Podcast Network called Chapter One, hosted by Nellie Thomas.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now. Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.